We can not be afraid of bad news. There's a Billy Falcon song that he was a believer a long time ago that used to play with Sal. And he still has a CD. It's called Spark in the Dark. And one of the songs on it is My Heart is Fixed. And there's a line in there is, bad news is not going to shake my faith. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And it's a really cute song, so you can go hear it on iTunes. But this idea of having our heart be prepared is, it's not just a picture, you know. It's not just, I mean, like all the illustrations about I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, all those kind of illustrations are just a way for us to understand that our heart is where all the issues of life come from. So what we do in our heart and what we do with our heart is really, really important. So we're going to take a look at a king who lived in the Old Testament, and he was the grandson. Let's see. Okay, well, we'll get to it. His name is Asa. And Andrew's going to come up and help me read. So you can turn to 2 Chronicles 14 first. And we're going to find out who this Asa was. There was Saul who was king. Then there was David, right? And David's son Solomon. Then Solomon had a son named Rehoboam. Now Rehoboam was not a good king. And in fact, in 1 Chronicles, later on in 1 Chronicles, it says that he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. So Rehoboam was a bad, bad example. Okay. Then Rehoboam had a son named Abijah. And Abijah had a son named Asa. So let's read 1-5 of 2 Chronicles 14.
2 Chronicles 14, 1-5 in the ESV. Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days the land had rest for 10 years. And Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He took away the foreign altars and the high places, and broke down the pillars, and cut down the Asherah, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to keep the law and the commandment. He also took out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the incense altars, and the kingdom had rest under him.
Well, that's a great testimony about, because he took down all the altars to the idols, especially Baal and Ashtoreth, that when Judah and Israel followed him and did what he commanded them, then the land had rest. So it really ties in with all the things that we've been talking about lately about rest and quiet. And it has this idea that Asa really prepared his heart. He fixed it. And he said, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to be like my father and my grandfather. So let's see what else he did in 1 Kings chapter 15. So this was at the very beginning of his reign when he first started reigning, that he took all the idols out. So 1 Kings 15, 1-3.
Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam began to reign over Judah. He reigned for 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maachah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins that his father did before him, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father.
Okay, so it says that Abijam began to reign in Judah, and he only reigned for less than 3 years. That was the son of Rehoboam, who is the bad king. So he had two bad kings in a row here. And so you'd think that because Asa had grown up in this whole idolatry and things that his grandmother, his grandfather, and his father, and his mother also had been involved in, that he would be like that, right? It would just be normal that he would just follow in the footsteps of that. But he wasn't. And it says his mother's name was Maaka, the daughter of Absalom. Now, he can't be the daughter of Absalom. I mean, she can't be the daughter of Absalom. She's the granddaughter of Absalom. So Rehoboam married this lady named Maaka, and they had a son named Abijam, and then the grandson is Asa. But this lady, Maaka, was like the queen mother. So she had real charge over all of what was going on, and she had led all the people into worshiping the gods of the Ammonites, which one of them was Chemosh, where you throw your babies in the fire. So that's what they were into, and that's why it's Asa is such an incredible example of somebody who just said, no, I'm not doing that. I am going to change my heart and do something different. So look, let's go down to 9, verse 9, and see what he did. So 9 to 14. 9 to 15. 14.
14, okay.
Yeah.
In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa began to reign over Judah, and he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maaka, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and as his father David had done. He put away the male cult prostitutes out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. He also removed Maaka, his mother, from being queen mother because she had made an abominable image for Asherah. And Asa cut down her image and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was wholly true to the Lord all his days.
So even though his grandmother, this lady named Maaka, was really in power, he when he was going about purging all the idols out of the land, she had built one especially to have right there in the palace, right? So he took that and he cut it in pieces and burned it in the brook and deposed her from being queen mother. Now that took a lot of courage, don't you think? And the coolest part here is verse 14, where it says that the heart of Asa was wholly true to the Lord all his days. Now, you can go on and later this afternoon or something and read some more about Asa, what else he did in his life. We're not going to read the whole story of his life. And he did make some mistakes and judgment. But see, God looks on the heart. And this is his testimony about Asa, is that he stayed true all his days. So I think that's really comforting because, you know, I don't know about you, but I end up making mistakes in judgment all the time. And that's not what God is looking at. He is looking at our heart. Where is our heart? Is it fixed? Or is it prepared? Is it stable? Is it planted? Are we going to budge when it comes to temptations that come across our way to not trust God? Are we going to go in those loving arms and just stay there forever? And we can, because God says that he will never leave us. So we're the only ones that end up leaving him. So let's go back to 2 Chronicles and chapter 14, and see what happened right near the beginning of Asa's reign. He had a really big temptation thing happen where there was a big deal going on. All right, so we'll start in verse 6 to 8.
He built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years, for the Lord gave him peace. And he said to Judah, "Let us build these cities and surround them with walls and towers, gates and bars. The land is still ours because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him and he has given us peace on every side." So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, armed with large shields and spears, and 280,000 men from Benjamin that carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor.
Now, Judah is a country about half the size of California. So like all of Southern California, that's about how big Judah was. So this is a huge army. 300,000 from Judah and 280,000 from Benjamin. That's a huge army. 580,000. I was reading someplace where the whole armed forces of the United States is only about 700,000 total around the world. This little tiny country got this huge amount of army together. All right, but now let's go on and read what happens, 9 to 15.
Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots.
A million? Oh my goodness. That makes the 580,000 doesn't look so hot, right?
And came as far as Marishah. And Asa went out to meet him. And they drew up their lines of battle in the valley of Zephatha and Marishah. And Asa cried to the Lord his God, O Lord, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let no man prevail against you. So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as Gerar, and the Ethiopians fell until none remained alive, for they were broken before the Lord and his army. The men of Judah carried away very much spoil. And they attacked all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord was upon them. They plundered all the cities, for there was much plunder in them. And they struck down the tents of those who had livestock and carried away sheep in abundance and camels. Then they returned to Jerusalem.
Wow. Wow. Look at that. It says that there was not one remaining alive. A million. A million person army. A million man army. And there was not one that remained alive. Now they couldn't have done that all by themselves, right? And it says that the Lord defeated them. So in this particular record, it doesn't really say how he did it, right? Lots of other times, like with Gideon, remember Gideon? He had, you know, he told Gideon to take the pitchers and put some lights in it and then, you know, surround the Midianites. And that army was only about 250,000 or something like that. This is a huge army. Huge army. And so, you know, talk about that song, Bad News, Not Going to Shake My Faith. When Asa saw that army come up on their southern borders, he had a choice, right? Do you have something you'd like to share?
Sure.
Yeah.
And to parallel kind of the idea of this, like, triumph in the midst of opposition, or the idea of seeking the Lord who gives you peace but also helps you win battles, a testimony comes to mind. And it includes all of you, actually. When I moved back here from Stockton, I had been living in a place, and to give the abridged version, Mother was coming down from Northern California. I had no house. I had no car. I had a great job, and I always prayed to God and was like, when you want me to have a place of my own, Father, I want it to be your place, a place to serve you with. When you want me to have a car, I take the train every day. And I'm happy taking the train. I have 40 minutes to hang out with you, read my Bible, and hang out. But when you give me a car, I will use that car for you. I'm not too worried about it. Other people think I have a car, but I'm happy where I'm at. And so, long story short, Mom's coming down from north, up north. I'm living with Mark Jeltema at the time. And Mom's coming down, and she's like, God told me to come down, so I'm going to come down. So I'm praying about it, and I say, okay, well, then we're going to need a place to stay. So I pray about getting a place to stay. At that time, Jessica comes to visit in January of that year. This is around all the same events. Me and her are just friends at this time, you know. Just friends, you know. And with a stroke of God's mighty hand. I got a car, a place. I started hanging out with a woman who would be my future wife a lot, and got us all in there. And I remember that first night being there. I think it was me, Mom, and Jessica sitting on the floor of our new house, completely unfurnished, completely zero, nothing in there, and just as happy as we could be on our carpet with our sleeping bags, like, oh, we got a house. This was God. Because a week before, we had no idea. I mean, I had told Mark, I'm going, because I had lived with Mark Jeltsma at this time, I had told Mark, by next week Friday, I'm going to be out, and I'm going to have a house. Because we had been discussing, and I was already telling him I'd like to move someplace, not because Mark isn't awesome. Mark, I love Mark. He's one of my favorite roommates. But I just felt like it was time. And within that time frame, without anything except God said, tell him this. Tell him you're going to be out by Friday. I was like, okay. So I was out by Friday. In fact, it was like 6 p.m. that day that I was out. We're in our house. We have an empty house. And then I say, God, I have this house and I have this car now. Thank you. This is all for you. I have nothing in it. I don't have a shower curtain. I don't have a fork. I don't have a refrigerator. You know, I don't need, I don't have dresser drawers. I don't have a bed. We're sleeping on the living room floor, and we're happy as can be. We are just completely joyful because we know we're there already because of God. We got a, you know, shelter over our heads and stuff. And so I pray, and God says, "Ask the body." And so I was like, "Okay." So I go to different fellowships with you all around the area, and I just say, hey, our house is completely unfurnished, so if you have any like hand-me-down tables in your garage or anything like that, we'd be happy to take them off your hands. And the response from the body was just awesome. Like, our whole house got furnished. I had more than I needed. I had more couches than I needed. I had a piano in my living room, which I prayed for. Steve Schieser was like, I got this big electric piano, and I was just come home, and I'd have this fully furnished house, and I'd pour myself a glass of wine, and I'd play the piano, and I would just look around, and I'd be like, got that couch for Trish Barbera. I got that refrigerator from Baltimore. Got that shower curtain from Bob and Jeannie Linfeld. I really just, this house was furnished and constructed by the love of God and the love of the body. And there is no chance that any of that should have happened just by coincidence, you know. Getting a car, future wife, getting a house, getting it fully furnished. And we just sought the Lord in that, and it became our testimony before God, and it became your testimony. And so I want to thank you all for that, but also want to say, praise God, it does amazing things.
Thanks. Let's take a look back at verse 11 there, and see, this is kind of what even Andrew did. Because when we cry out to God, He works in the body. And he works with all of us to help take care of each other. But verse 11 has some really neat keys in it there. The first one is Asa cried to the Lord his God. He cried out. He didn't look at the situation. He didn't look at the empty house. He didn't look at the I don't have a job. He didn't look at the I don't have a car. Whatever else is going on in your own life, you know. It's not to look at it, but it's to cry out to the Lord as God. And then he reminds God, oh Lord, there is none like you to help. There's nobody like you. There's nothing with you to help. Also, that's what King James says. Nothing can hinder you from helping me. That's what his affirmation was. So you see how even in this case, his heart is being changed because of his confession, because of what he's saying is, I know you are going to be my helper. And then the ESV says, between the mighty and the weak, but the King James is a much better translation of the middle of that, whether with many or with them that have no power. In other words, numbers don't matter to God. The million guy army didn't faze God at all. So, why do we think that there's something in our lives that's so big that God isn't going to take care of? If he can take care of a million army that's ready to attack and just, you know, kill everybody, then surely the things that are important to us, he will also take care of. So it doesn't matter to God about the numbers or about how big the problem is or how small the problem is. And then he also says, goes on, he says, help us, you know. And that word help means to surround. So again, you have the same picture of God's help is like this surrounding fence where he takes his arms of love and he just puts them around us and he just says, you're safe here. You can be planted here. There's nothing I'm not going to do for you. So when you cry out for help and you say, help, I'm going to be there. And he also affirms that we rely on you. We rest on you. We lean on you like a staff. You had that great line in your song about how we lean on God as we lean on a staff. We lean on him and just go, okay, I'm pretty weak here. And I'm looking at this guy, this problem coming at me, and it's not very pretty. So help! I know you can do it because you're stronger than anybody. And then you lean and you go, okay, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to be fixed. My heart is going to be prepared to the place where then I can receive what God's answer is. Right? And in your name we have come against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Let not man prevail against you. If he's basically also reminding God that if the enemy would prevail, then it would be interpreted as somebody prevailing against the mighty God. So, hey, you don't want your reputation to be ruined, do you? He was just reminding him. But you see his heart. You see how he had prepared it. So let's go over to Hebrews chapter 13. And just kind of close here, because Hebrews 13 is in the manifestations. God had also said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And this whole picture of our heart being prepared is just really a response to God's arms of love and how He promises to protect us. He promises He will never leave us. He promises that He will be our helper. So what do we have to be afraid of? Nothing, right? Hebrews 13, and in verse 5.
Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
And the Aramaic of I will never leave you nor forsake you is, it means my hands will never hang down and do nothing. They'll never just hang here. I mean, God also said that in the manifestation, that I hold tight to your hand. All of these pictures are the same. I hold tight to your hand. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. My arms are always wrapped around you. I will always be there for you. He tells us that over and over and over and over. So that's what we need to put in our hearts. And if the Lord is my helper, then I will not fear. What can man do to me? My heart is fixed. So go back to, I think it's 112. 112? Yeah. Kind of the summary, see? Verse 7, he is not afraid of bad news. He's not afraid of bad news. I don't care if it's a million man army. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. Verse 8, he will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. Not one man of that huge army lived. So are our problems greater than what happened to King Asa? No. We can trust God in this exact same way. We can keep our hearts prepared and just come to Him with every single thing, and He will be there. He will be our helper. So, God bless you.
Like radiant diamonds bursting inside us, we cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfire, singing your name. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. Let this offering stretch across the sky, these hallelujahs be multiplied. Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us, we cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfire, singing your name. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. Let this offering stretch across the sky, these hallelujahs be multiplied. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. Let this offering stretch across the sky, these hallelujahs be multiplied. These hallelujahs be multiplied. Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us, we cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfire, singing your name.
God bless you. We love you.
There's one more verse we got to end with here. Psalm 37. Because it's blazing praises, right? Mm-hmm. Hallelujahs. That's the end result when we know that God has really come through and been our helper. You want to read Psalm 37:23?
Sure. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way.
Ah, that's not the one I was thinking of. How about Psalm 118? That's a good one, though. Okay, let's see. This one's good, too. 118, verse 5 to 9. I'll find it while you're reading.
Okay. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man.
Yeah. So, 108, verse 1. Psalm 108, verse 1. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and make melody with all my being. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Let the hallelujahs be multiplied.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you.
We'll have the abundant sharing horns over by the door. So be free. Have some coffee and snacks and... Love you.